Hello!
Who's under the cosh this week?
Who?
Barcelona for a start, after Real Madrid's Zidane surround them in the Clásico, as Los Blancos put in a performance as shiny as their manager's head. Meanwhile, in the Premier League, Spurs find a surprising similarity with Mesut Ozil, as they start looking ahead and behind at the same time, with Leicester winning again, boring, and Arsenal finally playing like a team that actually has a lot of good footballers in it. Other highlights include De Bruyne's return, Pato being resurrected around Easter, Peter Lim putting an end to his role as Neville's advocate, and Eboué and Bentner both being sacked by two different clubs in the same week. Magic. Welcome to the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com. My name is Alex, and I'm playing probably defensive midfield. Up front, I've got Mohamed Kheir.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good. How are you?
Great.
How many goals are you going to score today?
4.
Excellent. Bernie, box to box, what's happening?
Everything. I'm box to box.
Good answer. Roche, I don't quite know where to put you, but for now, it's going to be centre back.
Okay, why not? Yeah.
Big chest.
Yeah.
Strapping, but I mean, big strapping chef, young lad.
Big chest would be hold up play up front. I'd say like
a target man. Hold up the big target man.
True.
Yeah.
Just occupying space.
Just holding things.
Yes,
just
occupying space.
Just holding things up in general. That's a good spine of a team, I reckon. Good enough for a podcast, at least.
Good enough. You think good enough for Zidane?
He needs a Pepe.
He needs a Casemiro.
Yeah. Definitely doesn't need a Ramos.
No. Well, let's start with the Clásico that happened. I think yesterday. Yes, that was yesterday.
See.
At the Camp Nou, to be honest, everyone thought, I mean, just as a little pre-game thing, Barcelona should have won this one. They were in better form. They're like 10 points ahead of Madrid in the table, yada, 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 yada.
Doing it for Cruyff, etc.
Beautiful tribute to Cruyff, by the way.
Yeah. The Tifo.
Absolutely.
Super impressive. One of the best we've seen.
Yeah.
The Tifo was unbelievable. It was incredible. It was huge across all three levels of the Camp Nou.
Yeah.
They had a minute silence. You saw, even through the minute silence, Real Madrid, some portions of the Real Madrid fans were kind of being loud on purpose just to be disrespectful. Mm-hmm. And you could see Ronaldo shaking his head, like trying to tell him.
But that was as much for the cameras as anything. Yeah. He's like, look at me telling them that that's a bad thing to do.
But that's what he does.
Like, they know that the second they step out on the field, the cameras are watching. So everything they do is monitored. Right. So it's all rehearsed. Exactly.
Even the applause at the 14th. Minute.
Yes. You
know, they did that too.
And his son was there in the stands next to the Barca president. It was nice. But a bit of a context, this is Zidane's first Clásico, of course. The history shows that the manager's first, Real Madrid's manager first Clásico usually goes horribly. Mourinho shipped 5 goals with the famous PK, 5 in the air kind of gesture.
5 fingers.
It's like the anti-Sunderland thing.
Yes. Benitez got 4 against him. Ancelotti, I think he only lost by 1 goal, but he still lost 4-3. So it wasn't looking good as an omen for Zidane to start the game.
But I don't think it was the history that wasn't making him look good. It was the form of the teams.
Yeah, for sure.
Barcelona were on a 39-game winning streak in all competitions, which was, I think the record is Nottingham Forest or something with 44. Well, actually, it's Celtic with 62, but that was in 19.
Yeah.
So we're talking about modern times, quote-unquote, Nottingham Forest. So they were chasing something. There was a lot on the line.
That's true. That said, Barcelona have been a little less convincing lately, and Real Madrid have had some very good wins, especially in the Champions League, that has seemed to have given them some momentum.
And, you know, you're saying they were playing for stuff and they weren't looking good, and that two things actually came together in the beginning of the game. Barca just weren't giving it their all. They were just doing just enough, and Madrid obviously were playing a very defensive game on the counterattack. Casemiro in midfield was really, really effective, really holding Messi. I mean, when Messi wants, he'll do it regardless of who's there, but he clearly wasn't in the mood. One of those games where the front three just weren't in the mood.
Neymar had a shocker of a game.
Yes.
It was probably the worst performance he's had this season.
Mm-hmm.
Suarez didn't know where he was. I mean, the one time that they did connect was when Neymar played the ball across the box and it's Suarez in the goal. You know, you would have just walked away at that point and said this was a goal, and he completely missed it.
Yeah.
It is interesting I think if he puts that in, you're looking at a very different game, because at that point Barcelona can be more controlled, can take their time with the ball, can pass it around, and just I think that it led to a level of chaos after that.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been 1-0 after 10 minutes with Suarez's chance, but this was a one-way traffic game from start to finish. Real played on the counter. They set up to frustrate Barcelona the whole way.
You're right.
And they did a great job on that.
The first half, I mean, Barca had all the possession, but they didn't actually create any chances. We talked about the Suarez one, but the only save Navas had to make was that chip for Messi, which was...
That was in the second half.
Well, in the first half, he did have a save to make from Rakitic. It was a little bit close to him, but it looked better, you know, the first time he saw it.
Right.
But we might as well go on to the second half, because the first half was a little bit...
It was all fouls. Yeah. First half was all fouls, everybody fouls. Getting their yellows.
But it was one-way traffic. Real, we're not designed to attack or keep the ball whatsoever.
And by the way, whenever Real Madrid, and let's not gloss over this, whenever Real Madrid did get the ball and they got in a forward position, they looked confused. Yeah. Because Benzema... up until he scored, had a shocker of a game.
He was too slow for the counter-attack.
He was too slow. Mm-hmm. The ball didn't stick. Real Madrid could not put a pass together. Yeah, bad.
That's a good point, because Benzema had one chance where Busquets left him alone in the box. And he swiveled, tried to hit it on the volley, and the ball went...
higher than Ramos's penalty.
If there was a third tier in the Camp Nou, he probably hit it.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. And Bale and Ronaldo were doing a lot of defensive work in the first half.
Yep.
And I think that is credit to Zidane. I saw a lot of Madrid fans' reactions saying, sure, we weren't playing that well, but it's smart that Zidane realizes that we are inferior to them. We have to play this way if we want to get a result.
I mean, first half, you saw Ronaldo man-marking Jordi Alba, who was in their box, and I thought, well, those are two things that are wrong. Jordi Alba that far up and Ronaldo that far back.
Exactly.
But the thing is, on the one hand, yes, we should credit Zidane for making that happen. On the other, it's not like other managers haven't tried to make that happen.
Mm.
It's just that Ronaldo's willing to listen to Zidane.
Well,
like, Benitez tried to get him to do defensive work, and nothing happened.
That's true. So moving on to the second half, it was a much better half of football. The previous chance I mentioned, Messi with a little chip. Navas with... It looked like he grew 3 inches in the air to reach that ball. It was tipped, like just fingertips.
Yeah,
Navas grew 3 inches, huh?
It could have been 1-0 at this point, yeah.
That save was simply shocking. Like, and literally, we're talking about... He reached with the other hand.
Yeah,
you know, he's going that way with the other... Oh, my God. It's Navas form
but we also got to talk about how Messi chipped it in a situation that
was
extremely tight.
It
wasn't like a dinky chip. It was kind of like one of those flat backspin ones.
It was a line drive. It reminded me of Ronaldinho a bit.
Yeah, it was actually really creative, and because it looked like the ball was stuck under his feet and he dug it out. And again, Navas stole the show there.
To be fair, that's the only thing that he could have done. But the thing is, other players wouldn't have noticed that. That was the only thing you could do.
True.
Messi has the intelligence to know that this is the only way I can get this strong goal. He did it, but he just met his match at that point in Kilimanjaro.
And of course, Messi was the liveliest of the big three MSN.
Yeah, I mean,
in this game.
Yeah. We'll get to that. I thought Messi had a pretty bad game by his stats. I thought all three of them, obviously not excuses, but I think that the international break really had it stole. They just did not look energetic. When Neymar gets the ball, usually he's dribbling at you, he's making you spin left and right, but he was taking the easy option, cutting in, passing it off to Iniesta all the time. Like, all three of MSN were in South America, playing two crucial World Cup qualifying games. The counterparts in most of the Madrid team were playing friendlies in Europe, close by, that kind of thing. So I think that really did, with the traveling time, I think it showed in the game. No excuse, but I think it showed a little bit.
It did, perhaps. This was the most energetic I've seen Real Madrid's central midfield in a long time. Modric was unbelievably good.
Yes.
I was thinking halfway through that game, I was just watching Modric and being like, he would love playing in this Barcelona team. I mean, I'm sure he loves playing for Madrid too, but he would be such a perfect fit.
Casemiro
was brilliant, and Cruz looked good too.
The brilliant thing about Real Madrid, I mean, okay, so Barcelona score from a corner.
Yes.
And here's the thing. I was about to tweet this until Real Madrid won the game. So what I was going to say is, I believe that this Barcelona team, and I think most people know this, they're more tactically flexible than the Pep Guardiola team that they keep getting compared to fairly or unfairly, whatever. Because they can do things like score from set pieces, score from
Log
corners.
Balls.
It's not that they never did, but it's actually something they trained on. And one of the commentators was actually saying, when they scored that corner, I think...
Mascherano
went to the assistant coach and gave him a high five. And because it's almost to suggest, we actually worked on this and it worked out.
Actually,
right.
in the first half, the very first free kick Barcelona got, they didn't put it in the box. They tried to play an intricate, in the a training ground technique. They played it down to Neymar, who tried to spin it into Iniesta. So you're right, they do now practice this kind of thing.
But the best thing about that goal
was that it was Pepe that lost Piqué.
Yeah.
Because let's just talk about Pepe for a second. He is La Liga's Diego Costa. If the two of them were ever in the same team, I can't imagine what hell would be produced.
I mean, they used to fight all the time, right?
He is an absolute see you next Tuesday.
He is. He's a moron.
How has he been at Real Madrid for 10 years now?
Because they don't buy defenders.
They wheel him out every time they play Barcelona.
I'm sorry. Pepe actually had a shocker of a game.
Yeah.
He never got to any tackles. Like only time I remember once Neymar was trying to run and he spun Neymar and I thought, whoa, that's amazing. But that's the only thing he did.
To be fair, the whole Real Madrid team was in like defending.
Yeah.
So
the other thing he did good is he got Suarez a nice yellow with that like fake. Oh my god, anyways.
Well,
so
yeah, with that being said,
his career is inexplicable.
But yeah. Oh, also on that point, guys, we can talk about him being a great player all we want, but Sergio Ramos is a bit of a fraud. I'm sorry.
Sure.
No, he gets way too many red cards. He's
in
positionally,
the
positionally, he is rubbish.
Yes,
his positioning is always trash.
And
now look at this game. He should have been sent off how many times?
Yeah,
he should have had three yellows.
It happens way too much.
I think Ramos gets by on passion.
Yes.
And the header goals he scores in attack.
No, I
don't think... If you look at it black and white from just a theoretical defense point of view, I don't think I agree with Bernie.
If you look at it in terms
enough.
Of exactly what you're saying is the essence of defending,
yes.
His positioning is terrible.
Yep.
He makes poor decisions.
Yep.
He doesn't have leader. He's a shouty leader, but he's not like a pointy Flamini leader.
Yes.
But he doesn't actually have the sense to do the job.
He's good looking too, which I think helps, by the way.
I disagree, and I think if you watch him play for Spain, you can see that. You can see that. Real Madrid are often tactically useless. And the team is often unbalanced. The back four is often unprotected. It wasn't today or yesterday. And he
still was crap, even with him being protected.
Sure, he didn't have a good game. And yes, he should have been sent off. But I think you can see in many instances over his career for Spain that he is actually a very good defender. And he's often let down by
Real Madrid. Better than Thiago Silva?
No chance.
No. But Thiago Silva is one of the best defenders in the world.
Ramos is looked at as one of the best defenders in the world.
Ramos might not make the top 10 best center defenders.
Yeah,
in the world.
I don't believe. Anyways,
sure. With that being said, it was 1-0 to Barcelona, and at this point, I feel like they took their foot off the gas a little bit.
Big time, yeah.
Now Real Madrid obviously were still not the most organized team on the field, but you could see. You know, I think the best thing about Real Madrid was their wing backs.
Mm.
So I think it was Marcelo, the most liveliest wing back on the field, bringing the ball forward on a counter. Setting up, I think it was Bale. Who crosses it? A very fortunate deflection.
No, that was De Cruz.
De Cruz.
Came off the defender in the air.
Yeah, loops just agonizingly over Piqué's head.
Yeah.
And Benzema this time connecting well.
Good
really
finish from Benzema.
Really finish.
But the good thing is, it was literally 4 minutes after the Barca goal. It was instant. Like I think had the game went into like a 10-15 minute lull, it might have ended the 1-0 to Barcelona.
Yeah.
But Madrid, Marcelo, you're right. He ran the ball
all the way up. Yeah,
it was.
Absolutely.
For their second goal, after Ramos got the second yellow, it was Carvajal. He ran the ball all the way up.
Similar
the field
style. Barcelona looking tired, sluggish, foot off the gas. We got our goal. We're ahead.
Bale, great
same
cross.
Thing.
He looked up and he didn't just randomly put it in.
No.
He picked Ronaldo far post. And Alves didn't need to jump. I mean,
Alves
is
horrendous.
Alves is a good enough player to look at the ball and go, I'm not going to reach it. Let me stay on my feet.
Just stay on Ronaldo.
So I think what happened to Alves was he thought Ronaldo might head the ball straight into the goal, but Ronaldo at the last minute took it on his chest.
Because Ronaldo saw that difference in height and he's like, there's no way he's getting
it. I thought he was going to head it too. But the thing about Marcelo that you're talking about is, if you watch this game, there were so many times where Marcelo left his left back position.
Center
and he was playing center mid
position.
And playing through balls. And I was wondering, how?
There was one attack where Marcelo kept getting the ball back in an attacking midfield position three times.
And the thing is, I think he was doing that because it allowed Cruz to have a pass to make through the Barcelona lines. Because the wingbacks, you know, I think it was Dani Alves and Jordi Alba were pushed up so high that Marcelo had that space to move in.
But Real Madrid, Barcelona have to exploit the space that the fullbacks leave. They just did not do that all.
There's no energy.
The other thing, you just mentioned Jordi Alba. One of my favorite moments of this game was the disallowed Bale goal.
Oh, wow.
A should never have been disallowed, whatever. But when Real Madrid have the ball on the left, and Bale is just standing next to Jordi Alba with both arms in the air, like, put it on my head, he's tiny, I'm huge, just put the bloody cross in, and I'll score.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that was called for. No one has a clue.
It wasn't offside,
Calcio,
and it wasn't a foul. The whole move was just perfect, and the referee screwed it up.
Zidane was celebrating 10 minutes into
it. It should have been a goal, absolutely. Real Madrid, at the end of this game, came into this game. Even though they had 10 men, they could have had that goal. Could have been 3-1. Ronaldo also hit the crossbar. Could have been 4-1.
Right after Barcelona scored,
yeah,
it was shocking how often Real Madrid took the ball, ran at them, came back, ran at them again. Yeah. And I thought, I have never seen this in my life. The last 10 years of Barcelona playing, I've never seen a team just go at them all the time.
They got lazy.
So a couple of things here. The game and the 3 points for Madrid, that puts them 7 still points away from Barcelona. But at the end of the day, bragging rights, they'll take it regardless. I have a few questions for you. Watching this game, I saw Hesse come on and Vasquez come on. Mm-hmm. And it made me think about Isco and James' future. There were a lot of reports recently about how Madrid might kind of let these guys go if they want to buy a Hazard or whoever, and their future of the club is uncertain. I think, one, they don't start the Clásico. Two, they don't even come on as subs when he brings on Hesse and Vasquez prior to them. I don't know. It feels like their future might be actually over.
They're done.
They are. They're transfer listed. It's over.
They're done. I mean, again, we know whenever there's a rumor that goes on and on and on and on and on, you know that there is something behind that. Isco and James are gone. The Colombian manager came out and said that Real Madrid don't want him anymore. Obviously, yeah, that's based on a conversation that he had with James. So James is gone. Isco is gone. And one of the reasons why both of those guys are gone is because Cristiano Ronaldo is still there. Benzema is still going to be there.
They thought Cristiano
Bale
was going to go.
Bale is immovable. There's no space for those guys.
So do we think Zidane keeps his job now next year? Because it was still like up in the air. But at this point, if
he won the Clásico at the Camp Nou. So, I mean, Perez is going to be a happy man. But is Perez going to be there next year? So it's going to hinge on a few things.
I mean,
yes.
Is Perez ever not there?
Because he's basically fixed the system. So.
So I think this might...
Not the fax machine, though.
You have to wait for the Champions League.
You have to wait for the Champions League.
If they win the Champions League, then there's no...
Or even close. I think even close.
You never know with this Madrid team. They win the Champions League, they sack their manager. It's all over.
Since La Liga has been... the El Clásico has been a bit of a Messi versus Ronaldo thing. I got to give props to Ronaldo. He has now 16 goals in the Clásicos since he's joined. Messi only has 15. So when you think...
No. Messi has 21. This is all competition.
No, sorry.
In La Liga, Ronaldo has 9. Messi has that 15.
But I heard 16 and 15.
No, it's 21. So the top 3 Clásico scorers are...
Lionel, but since Messi, Ronaldo joined...
No, really? It's Lionel Messi, then Hugo Sanchez, and then Cristiano Ronaldo. 15, 16, 21.
He still kind of jumped up that list in a very few years. I mean, props to him for that. He does play well, and he loved the calma celebration to the fans.
But that finish yesterday was well lucky, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Sure. It was also tired. So I think that's pretty much it. I mean, to that point, Messi hasn't scored in 5 of the last 6 or so, 8
he's
in the last
shit.
10.
He's shit.
Yeah, he's an absolute garbage of a player.
What a pillock.
I mean, they're not going to build a statue for him after this.
No, nothing close to
what
Zlatan is getting.
What's the point? It would be miniature.
It's
a garden gnome.
Yes. Before we move on from Spain, Neville got the sack at Valencia.
Finally.
And I mean, I don't think we can blame them. He has the worst record in La Liga of any team since he's joined. 6 points
of relegation.
It's 9 games and they only got 5 points out of that.
It wasn't the right appointment. Most people knew that.
Yeah.
Only thing I can say about it is, you know what? I think he doesn't come out of this looking too bad. Because he held himself with, like, you know, integrity and all that stuff people talk about. And generally, the Spanish media doesn't find him a bad person.
Europa League helped too. He did well in Europa. I mean, he got out on goal difference against Bilbao. Also, he did break the record with a 5-0 in the first half. Like, so he had some positives.
Positives. But overall, I think he found it difficult to adapt to the Spanish system, culture, whatever you want to call it. But I think he's best as a pundit than a manager.
Yeah, I mean, I think
we'll find out.
He says he doesn't want to be a manager anyways.
I think time will tell. I mean, on the one hand for him, yes, it's been a terrible run of form, but he gained some really good experience. He finds out whether he likes it, whether he actually enjoys the work.
Yeah.
He learns a little bit of Spanish, enough to swear at people or whatever.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, Phil keeps his job, which is awkward.
It's like,
awkward.
Oh, bro, I'm gone. You come in? You come in his car? I'm good.
Only until the next manager gets there and sacks the entire backroom staff.
Yeah, there's no way.
The new manager is the guy who was his assistant. And the guy said, I would not do this job unless Gary Neville signed off on it. So I'm like,
lost his first game to Las Palmas.
Yeah. But they're beating everyone at the moment. But what was also awkward about that is that when Paco Ayestarán came in, Gary Neville was like, he's not taking over. He's going to leave when I leave.
It's another one that went, sorry, bro.
Sorry, fam.
I wonder if David Moyes applied for this job.
David Moyes applies to the Starbucks, bro.
David Moyes.
Exactly. All right.
Moyes Duran.
That's pretty much it from La Liga. Let's move on to Momo of the Week.
Momo
of the Week.
We start Momo of the Week this week with someone who has featured many times and recently too. Niklas Bentner does it again, but in partnership this week with Emmanuel Eboué, which is the best thing about this. Two Arsenal rejects.
Famed, I thought you were going to say two arseholes.
Well, that too. Famed for their idiocy. Yeah. Both got sacked by their respective clubs this week. Bentner by Wolfsburg for being, you know, shit at life. Mm. And Eboué for not paying his agent, so thus getting a ban from FIFA for a year of all football-related activities. And then Sunderland were just like, well, forget that. We're going to sack you then because we can't play you.
The best part about that is that everyone online was all like, yeah, Eboué doesn't pay his agent for a year, so he gets sacked immediately. Adam Johnson fondles a 14-year-old going like, well, let's wait and see what happens.
Let's get the facts straight.
Let's wait for the court case. Yeah. Anyway, beautiful stuff.
Our next one, I don't even know where to start, and I don't even know why I'm the one talking about it, but we're going to do it anyway.
You know exactly why.
So, two of Dynster SV's players, who are Sudanese, were the targets of racial abuse, and apparently they were assaulted.
Right.
Now, his teammates, like, you know what any of you guys would do if it were me, decided that the best way to show solidarity was to basically go blackface. They painted themselves black.
Except the one black dude on the team.
Yeah, the one black dude just added more black paint on his face. And then they just sat there as if it was a team picture, you know, the one that they're going to put in the calendar and put on in the mail.
Yeah.
And they, I don't know what the translation is in English, but it seems like, you know, this is for you, Ahmed. Yeah. What's his name?
Ahmed and Amar. Ahmad and Amar.
Okay, that was just the
guy. Was it hashtag no filter?
It's like Black Lives Matter.
To be fair, they didn't black up with paint. They photoshopped the black on.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought they had a swim in
social media intern loved his
day. The social media intern was like, and then he got to the black dude and went, that's one less to do.
So basically they came in and they were like, bro, you haven't had so much work to do.
Yes.
We need you to put some black on our faces. And he probably looked at them like,
what do you mean?
I need a raise for this.
I will never get another job again.
I am not taking the fall for this.
No. It's unbelievable.
All right, our last one. I've got Messi, and also related to me, in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So Messi did a show with an Egyptian anchor, and they were talking to him, and oh my God, we love you so much, thank you. And at the end of the show, Messi donated two of his boots that he signed for like an auction. Everybody went crazy back home,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, this is insulting. How dare he give me the shoes, because shoes
are seen. I thought it was just that one guy, but it was a lot of people.
No, it was a lot of pundits and people on TV, and like, this is insulting, because shoes are back home are a bit, you know. But people, there were some sane people. We have an old goalkeeper who's now a pundit, and he's like, listen, when I retired, I gave my gloves up because they're the most valuable thing to me. Messi said a million times that my shoes are the most. When he gives other players stuff for their kids and stuff, he gives them his shoes all the time.
But the funny part about this was what that, I think the journalist or whatever, what he actually said.
It was a politician, wasn't it?
Yeah. He came out and he said, oh, Messi's giving us shoes. He should give shoes to the poor people of Argentina.
Like to the people in the Falklands,
he didn't he literally say, like, we have shoes. We have pride. Like, we don't. Yeah.
He went really mad. And I mean, Momo, definitely.
You know, it's like, El Neni's blowing up. We don't need you, bro.
Yeah, we've got El Neni, man.
Yeah.
All right, so Premier League doesn't often come in the second half of the podcast, but that shows you how crazy El Clásico can have some people. So we cater to them.
That means it's not the best league in the world this week.
The Premier League!
Yeah, it's
thanks for that, for sure.
Yeah. So let's start with the Liverpool-Spurs game. This one was, I think, I mean, other than the relegation battle, this one held a lot for both teams.
Are they battling for relegation?
No.
Or is that just Liverpool?
In the importance of the game, this was a big 3 points that Spurs really need to get, because in their running, this was one of those, will they get the 3 points? Mm-hmm. And they did it. They drew at Anfield 1-1.
They went behind and came back.
They did. And to be fair, Liverpool were value for money to go ahead. They were great going forward. They looked fantastic. No Firmino as well, but they still looked really good. But my God, they were absolutely horrendous in defense.
As usual.
Sakho and Mignolet just want to get scored on. They do. Like, they just do.
it's shocking to me how Liverpool are this Jekyll and Hyde team. It makes no sense. Last time out, they lost 3-2 to
Southampton,
right?
2-0 up.
2-0 up. Their defense again. Sacco again.
Yeah.
And then now, Sacco again. I'm just waiting for a Gerard Butler to kick him down that well. Honestly, it's about time. It really is. Yes.
The funny thing is that Lovren actually had one of the better games I've seen Lovren have, and it still wasn't good enough because Sacco just got rolled by Kane.
A lot of Liverpool fans are saying Lovren, I'm sure, has the ability, but it must be hard when he plays next to a Skrtel, next to a Sacco, and with Mignolet behind him. Like, he's focusing on his own.
Well, you've also got Moreno at left back,
yeah,
who's defensively not brilliant.
So how long has Skrtel been there?
Oh, he should
Isn't
be captain.
Isn't he ready for a tribunal at some point?
Yeah.
He's been there forever.
And
he's
when has
get
he
buried
been
in
good?
The boot room.
I don't remember when he's been good.
I think he's been like 6.5 out of 10 the whole time.
He's been like
consistently average.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Liverpool were good going forward. They played well. Henderson again. I'm not sure what his role is. Barely touched the ball. Spurs surprisingly shaky at the back this game.
Yeah.
They didn't look at their best, which is they're known for being solid at the back and creative up front. But up front, Ali didn't look at his best game. Again, maybe international break, but he just didn't look he had the energy.
They looked tired.
Yeah, they did.
Do you guys think that Tottenham, maybe the gas, they've run out of gas. Maybe it's just a little bit too far for this particular group. Maybe if they continue to grow and things. I don't know.
I think when they don't have their starting 11, like Son starting this game, I don't think he played that well.
I think they had
a better, like a Lamella or something who has been on form. It shows, like, them and Leicester, Spurs and Leicester, are really reliant on starting 11.
Who would have thought you would say Eric Lamella?
Yeah.
And not starting would make
yes,
a difference.
I was actually surprised he didn't start, because he has been starting recently and playing well. And Son, the second he started his Tottenham career well, but he has struggled. He's very involved in games, but his final product is fairly bad. But what I thought about Spurs was that they looked undermanned in midfield. And to your point, they don't have another central midfielder that they could bring on, an experienced central midfielder they could bring on to help control the game.
Yeah.
The person in that squad for that position is Ryan Mason.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really help you much. Because what happens is Dier drops back to form like the back three. And then they kind of got Dembele on his own in the middle. And he can do it. Like, he picks up the ball, dribbles past one or two. But when Liverpool doubled up on him,
because that's what Liverpool
did. I think it was difficult because Liverpool had a high pressing system and they were full of energy because they just do that. They just do that under Klopp, and Spurs for once did not have the energy to match
Leicester. Why I keep saying Leicester? Tottenham have lost one game that Dembele has played in this season. One.
He has been.
And again, who would have thought that we'd be saying Moussa Dembele is central to everything?
There are a lot of players this season. Even Chadley and stuff. Anyways,
2 points dropped for Tottenham.
Yeah, the two goals were really nice though. Both Coutinho's goal was well played. Sturridge, who could have, had he been just 10% better this game, Spurs would have shipped 3 goals. Like, he had Luis save after save
Coutinho actually had a lot of chances too.
As well, yeah.
In fact, I think the goal was a Sturridge assist.
Yes, the goal was a Sturridge assist. Coutinho, great finish. Kane rolled Lovren, so nice for his goal. I mean, Kane is that we've seen it for England against Holland. Against Germany. He can be so quiet, but he is a predator when it comes to scoring.
He's very accurate with his shooting. No question.
The Alan Shearer comparisons are starting to make a lot more sense.
They do.
Only because Alan Shearer wasn't always involved in every aspect of the game, but he just, it's like they say, the old cliche, he knows how to find the
back. He knows where the goal is, exactly.
The Eriksen assist was quick too. Quick thinking there.
Yes, agreed. Speaking of Leicester now, Bernie, I think you can say Leicester as many times as you
like. Leicester.
So Leicester, any guesses on the score line?
1-0
to the Leicester.
Yeah.
City.
Just for accuracy.
I needed it to scan. You know?
Bernie just coughed with a dab to block his cough. Very nice.
Yeah, I was trying not to muffle the sound.
Nice. Wes Morgan getting the goal. And overall in this game, he was an absolute monster. He marshaled his back four like nothing else. He got every ball in the air. He tackled. He was everywhere. He was...
Yeah.
But it was not only Wes Morgan. I think the whole Leicester team is playing in such a team-like, like teamwork 100%, chemistry 100%.
When they make the film of this season for Leicester, it's just going to come out after post-production as 300. Like,
that's, yeah. I was thinking that. Yeah. Like, is that what they watch before every game? Because they just think, there's little Leicester and these big other oafs. And
well, one thing I want to say about Leicester is, you know, time and time again this season, they don't have the majority of possession. They play on the counter, long balls forward. They find the space. Drinkwater and Albrighton and Kante doing an exceptional job just circulating that ball around.
You know what? You're absolutely right. And what I think is a sign of maturity from Leicester and from possibly Ranieri is recently it's been all about the 3 points. It's not about the performance. It's not about having the ball. It's whatever we do to have the 3 points.
Has it ever been about more than that, though?
Well, earlier in the season, they played much more entertaining football. They were so much fun to watch. Mahrez step over, blah, blah, blah.
I agree.
Now, it just seems like they are actually trying to close out the season. Something that, for example, as, let's say, an Arsenal fan, I'd love to see more. Pragmatism.
Right.
Mourinho did it. Mourinho played the first half of that two seasons ago as the best playing team in the league. And then the second half, he won every game.
They shut it down. Absolutely
beautiful stuff.
But this Leicester team, they still could have had three goals. Simpson missed an open goal. There were a couple of open goals.
Forrester with three world-class saves.
There was a penalty shout for Southampton, though.
With the handball?
Except they didn't shout.
I don't know. I don't know.
It was just a penalty. No shout.
It's like Koeman was like enraged, but I don't know.
None of the players appealed.
I'll tell you why. The ball was like a yard away from his hand, and he kicked that at him as hard as he can. It would have been slightly...
I agree. Those ones are... But... On, you know how we talked about previously, the supporters are in tune with it, the players are in tune with it. There were two things that happened today that really made me believe that. The first was there was a gospel choir outside King Power Stadium, and they were singing "Oh Happy Day." So people walk in and they hear this, you're gonna feel good.
But that's also because they got a free beer and donut because it was the owner's birthday.
And the other thing is they had a huge sign, huge, covering like one quarter of the stand, saying "Happy Birthday, Mr. Owner" or "Mr. Chairman," which we don't see a lot. That relationship between the owner.
Operation is beating
the best thing. The best thing I saw on Twitter was because they said "Happy Birthday, Mr. Chairman" instead of the guy's name.
Because
the guy's name is like 20 characters long, and they were like
too expensive.
They were like they charged by letter, man. Anyway, so congratulations to Leicester on another very, very important 3 points. They're on their way now. They're like 8 or 7 points ahead.
7 points with 6 games left.
Yes. So, anyways, we'll see how that ends up. Arsenal played Watford at the Emirates. They needed the 3 points majorly because at this point, I think Arsenal fans are all looking at how can we win the league? Can we do it? And I think the analysis is you need to win 8 out of 8, maybe 7 out of 8. So every game counts at this point.
Also, trying to finish above Spurs is a thing at this point.
That's literally the goal at this point.
Pretty achievable now.
It's 1 point.
Oh, is it 1 point?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, no, it's 4, but they have a game in hand, I think.
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it would be worse. Banking on the win?
Like, this is the thing. I hate how people go, it's a two-horse race. Sorry, bro. Like, as much as I don't think Arsenal are going to win the race, but if it's a two-horse race, then it's definitely a 3. It's a point. Like, anyways.
It's close,
The performances here from the Arsenal players, I think the fans really enjoyed this game. Elneny and Coquelin with a really, really, really good midfield partnership. Elneny actually broke a Premier League record this season with 122 complete passes.
Nice.
Breaking Cazorla's previously 121. So Elneny's really doing what Cazorla was doing for us that Ramsey wasn't doing. So I think Cazorla was perfect. Ramsey came in and ruined it, and now Elneny's fixing it.
My favorite aspect of this game was I saw a tweet where it was Arsene Wenger and talking to Walcott, and he's pointing in that direction. And the caption was, "See that? That's Iwobi. And he's taking your spot now."
Yes, it's true. Iwobi and Welbeck have really reinvigorated us. As Elneny has kind of invigorated Arsenal from a defensive point of view and given them more solidity, Iwobi and Welbeck have invigorated Arsenal from an attacking point of view. Simply, Welbeck, by having pace, that's really it. And like he's kind of finishing chances once in a while now. And Iwobi, creativity, decision making, also pace, is just such a refreshing change after this season of terrible decision making in the final third.
Welbeck isn't even the best finisher. His worst quality, if anything, is finishing. So it shows you all Arsenal improved so much by just having a guy that can run. Now imagine you buy a guy that can run and finish. Just imagine that in a perfect world.
The thing about Welbeck is that, I think there's something to say when Sir Alex Ferguson would bring in Welbeck and play him in the biggest games because Welbeck will do whatever Arsene Wenger tells him to do, And he stretches defenses.
Yes.
It's almost as if they should have done this a long time ago.
Yes. And also, I love Iwobi's celebration with the little, like, kind of Robbie Keane gun thing.
Yeah.
And his nickname is brilliant, the Big 45, because he wears 45. I wonder now if he's going to be stuck with that number forever, because if that's your nickname...
should not stick.
It's nice.
No, it's not going to stick.
No, it's not nice.
But also, it's just the big, so you could change the number, whatever number like.
So, like, the big number 9.
I mean, if you think about it, Beckham was 23 or 24 when he first started in the United shirt.
23.
Yeah, but then he was 8.
Yeah, but he got number 10.
And
then
he was 7.
So he had a good...
He got all the good United numbers. But yeah, I mean, Ozil and Sancho as well, looking good. Ozil was fine. It was Sancho that was a bit out of form recently. He assisted and scored. He did the same for... He assisted two for Chile as well in the midweek. So hopefully, slowly starting to come back. Playing on the right, which helps a lot.
It does help. And I think he was playing... We talked about this, how he was playing on the left. And every game, he would get the ball, cut inside. Get the ball, cut inside, look for a shot. And it was being very, very predictable. And defenders had worked it out. And not that there was much to work out, but they'd worked it out. And so playing on the right just gives him a fresh perspective, if nothing else, and then more freedom. But I also want to do a quick shout out to two players who have come under a lot of fire recently. One is Gabriel, who's looked a lot better. And two is Ospina.
Oh, definitely. Ospina, since he came in, has been good enough, definitely.
He's been very good. He has. Made another couple of very good saves.
He has.
We'll relay the message since you just shouted them out.
Don't forget about Bellerin. He scored today, didn't he?
Yeah, but he gets credit.
Bellerin in the last three games has like 3 assists and a goal. He's been very good going forward. Yeah.
After I criticized him, he just went...
It's all you, bro.
This is what happens. Hold on, let me see.
Can you criticize... Wait, Sanchez is fine now. Oh, Giroud a little bit? That would be great.
Giroud, you're shit.
I've been saying it all season. United beat Everton 1-0 at Old Trafford. I mean, this one Alex was trying to predict, because we have a little prediction thing on the website.
No chance.
Yeah, and Alex was like, this is really hard to predict. United, I mean, Everton again, on paper, look way better than they should be.
He's a fraud.
Martinez?
Well, it's no surprise that Martinez is a fraud, but this was not a particularly good game whatsoever.
Sergio Ramos in.
Like, if you watched this game as a neutral, you would have been disappointed with the quality.
Why would
football.
You watch as a neutral? United are
involved. No, the first half was shocking.
Yeah,
it was, it was as if both teams had agreed beforehand, like, let's just make this easy for ourselves. Let's not stress ourselves out.
It was boring.
Second half was a lot better.
United were a lot better.
I thought the beginning of the second half, Everton... Took possession of the ball. They took the game to United. Lukaku, he was a handful, but you know what? Props to Daley Blind.
Killed him.
Daley Blind was fantastic. And Lukaku picked on him on purpose.
Yes, of course.
And he handled it.
Both of them. Smalling had an unbelievable game. I was watching this game and I was like, wow. Smalling was everywhere. In the box. In his own box. He was doing everything he can do. Creating open lane passes for other people. He was... Blind, I mean, to be fair, Blind, it took everything out of him.
I mean,
he was injured like three times.
His hamstring went at the end of it. He gave it all. And what a fantastic
performance. Everton with the better chances overall, by far.
But, yeah. I mean, Mata, I thought, had a really good game. Mata actually came for the ball. That goal had a lot of really good moments. The Mata bring down from that long ball was soft, just soft. And then when he played it to, who was it?
Marcus Rashford.
Fosu-Mensah, that dude, I love him, my favorite.
So Mata to Rashford, Rashford to Fosu-Mensah.
Yes.
Mensah to the back post for...
Martial tried to mess it up.
Yeah, he did.
He tried to mess up the finish.
To be fair, Coleman should have...
There were two mistakes in this goal by Everton, so this is why it's a scrappy goal. First of all, Coleman completely misses the swish. Kicks thin air. Martial kicks it back at the goalkeeper for some
who was on his knees.
And the goalkeeper kicks it into the goal.
On the point of Juan Mata having a better game, the one thing that I've noticed is, because of Rashford, and actually since Man City game, what happened was he pushed Lingard forward into the pseudo number 10, Mata back. So he's actually now playing, finally, Louis, a 4-3-3. We've been yelling at him to do it. He's not been listening, clearly.
I think he's been too busy.
It's unbelievable how you change to 4-3-3, which is what he did last season, which got him into the top four, and magic.
What's unbelievable is all he has to do is listen to the podcast.
Everyone knows
you keep your job. It's that simple.
I mean, I listen to other people.
Did you guys notice that little tactical innovation that Bernie just did?
We've
had the false 9, now we've got the pseudo 10.
Yeah.
Because Lingard, I can't ever call him anything. Lingard is decent, but he's not good enough for me to ever call him a 10.
Yeah.
Or anything on his own, he's an intelligent.
The one thing I noticed just watching the game from an Everton point of view is I thought they are too good of a team to have Lukaku so isolated. Because you have a good midfield, a good midfield three, good wingers that... It shouldn't be that many long balls. Lukaku is literally playing on his own. Like, long ball after long ball. You've got Cleverly, Barry, but not this game. Barkley and...
By the way, tactically,
whatever.
Barkley was... Yeah. I thought Barkley had a shocker. He was too far away from Lukaku.
Yes.
And he's supposed to be an attacking...
But that's all Lukaku did all
he's
game.
He's supposed to sit right behind him. And did you see Lukaku?
Yes.
He was yelling. He's being dominated by Smalling and Blin. And he keeps yelling at his players to come up and support
Lennon,
him.
Lennon, though. I thought Lennon wanted this game. He played... He gave it all. Lennon was everywhere, buzzing. He was running from defender to defender, pressuring the ball. I was really impressed with
that. Jagielka with a big header, open header,
twice,
right off the crossbar.
Twice, two Jagielka chances.
Two big chances, one right at De Gea, good save. But also Cleverly had a chance to score.
Yep, and that was a good block on that. But one point behind City, 2 points now ahead of West Ham. It's going to be very, very interesting, the run-in for the top four.
What was also interesting is Roberto Martinez's comments. I don't know if you saw this the other day, but he was being asked about Lukaku's future, as he will be in every press conference now to the end of the season. And he
what about
said,
his own future?
Yeah, well, that too. It's a bit more delicate, I think. But he said that Everton have the finances to compete with anyone in the world.
Shut up. Do they have the trophies?
Oh, shut up. Okay. No. And firstly, if you asked him this a month ago, which they did, he said everyone has a price.
Yeah. Right.
So...
including himself.
They're gonna what? But pay him more?
I don't think Lukaku's gonna stay at Everton just for the money.
No,
he wants to win.
And Lukaku's dad just said teams are interested in him.
Yep.
Mina Raiola came out and said it, and his dad said, I want him to go to Bayern Munich or Manchester United.
Lukaku's response to that was funny. He was like, yeah, those are two teams my dad likes.
Yeah.
But also he's saying I want to play in the
you
Champions
know what I don't
team,
like
so,
about
like,
Martinez.
Done.
Tell us.
I don't like that initially you like him.
Yeah.
But then, after you just listen to him, look at his shifty eyes, shifty ass.
So it's like he's good when you're...
He's just annoying.
He's good when you're going out with him, then you get married,
good,
and everything changes.
He's good when you don't know him
that
well.
Because he makes promises. I'm going to get you into Champions League. It's like you promise a girl, I'm going to do this and do that, but then you delay on
her.
You don't give her the ring and everything.
But you've heard about his two television solution, no?
No.
He has an L couch.
Okay.
Sectional, and he's got two televisions so that his wife can watch her soaps or whatever, and he can watch his football. But they can spend time together.
That's so shifty.
You know who
he
really loves that? Ozil would love that. Just watch both at the same time.
Oh, like a chameleon, like one eye is out. Oh my god.
All right, moving on. Let's look at this Norwich Newcastle game, because this one was at the bottom half of the table. It was a very important 3 points for both of them.
This was very similar to the English Clásico, you know, I dare say, because this game was 0-0 at halftime and it exploded in the last 20 minutes.
It really did.
70 minutes onwards, you're right, it was 1-0 to Norwich.
I'm sorry, I'm imagining Norwich Newcastle being broadcasted across the world as the classic.
English.
And Jose Perez again.
Yeah. And Benitez.
Naismith.
It's like, what? Benitez again?
90th minute winner, though. Come on.
Yeah. No, this game, I mean, Norwich. Opened the scoring 1-0, everything looked fine. Newcastle looked their usual self, can't score, horrible, blah blah blah.
You know, Norwich have a giant at centre back, the guy that scored that goal, close it, like, he's a giant,
he's really big.
Yeah.
But Mbokani, their new signing, actually had a really good game. His goal was rifled.
Fierce, man.
He's been useful.
Fierce. He has. So overall, Norwich 1-0, then Newcastle came back with a Mitrovic kind of header off the defender, really. And then 2-1 to Norwich with a great Mbokani goal. Then 2-2.
Mitrovic penalty.
Yes.
Yeah.
Deserved, to be fair, handball.
Nearly missed it, though.
And then I feel really bad for Newcastle, though, because there was a huge handball in that build-up to Olsen's goal.
I mean, when it's going bad, it's going bad. No luck on your side. I can say this about Rafa, is that everyone... associated with Newcastle seems to believe that the players actually like him, which they didn't like McLaren. They respect him because of things he's won, and they are actually they're looking better, apparently.
They are.
But when your players are that crap, I mean, Colaccini's still there. Like, when they're that crap, there is not much that you can...
Well, he has a clause, I think, that people said in his contract that obviously he's not going to manage them if they drop down, but, you know, he's trying his best.
But if he can hold himself up with some integrity there, he can probably get another job.
I think what we're seeing is that perhaps if he'd had 15, 20 games, be a very different story.
Of
but
course.
Eight, nine,
is he a relegation manager? That's the thing. Like, you want a relegation
guy,
right?
Rafa goes back to Valencia. Gary Neville just comes and manages a relegated Newcastle.
Perfect.
A relegated Newcastle?
Because they're going down.
Oh, okay. So why waste the money on a manager? Yeah. Just get
a faith manager.
They just get Houghton back every time. Come do it again.
I think speaking of the relegation battle, right now you got Aston Villa. We're definitely going down.
That's not a battle.
Which is why I'm happy we're seeing them.
Yeah. No, this could go bad.
They might not show up and be like, sorry, man. Like,
but then you have Newcastle and Sunderland, who deserve to go down, both of them.
Yeah. But I feel bad for a club the size of Newcastle. I think for the Premier League, I'd like them to make it.
No, I'm done. I want Wijnaldum.
I'm with you in that I really want Sunderland to go down. Because they're terrible and have been for years. And B, it breaks up this whole Allardyce doesn't get relegated thing.
I'm sorry. If you keep playing Adam Johnson after that, I think you've got
to
go down.
Yeah, but to be fair, if there were three stupid teams in the Premier League this season, it's Aston Villa, Newcastle, and Sunderland, and they should all just go home.
I think West Brom have been stupid too. I'm just sick.
Just hate Tony Pulis. Yeah. They've not been as stupid as Adam Johnson, FC. Yeah,
four centre backs every week, Bernie.
Yeah, so other games really quickly. We're not going to harp on too much. Aston Villa lost to Chelsea 4-0. Pato scored. Yay,
he looked alive.
Yeah, he did look good.
Where has he been? He scored a goal in his debut for every team.
Ah, nice.
He's only had three teams though.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Four, maybe.
How many of you?
Debut.
quick little stat though. Chelsea are now 15 games unbeaten, longest by any team in the league this season.
Nice. Under Hiddink,
yeah.
Very nice.
Oh, the other stat: Pato has more goals than Hazard. Wait.
Pedro has more goals this game than Hazard. He scored two. Pedro looks really good. Actually, Oscar looked really good. Anyways, I said we will not talk about this. Oh, Remy Gard did get the sack. Blah blah blah. Okay, cool.
No one has ever been more delighted to be sacked than Remy Gard.
He's going to go back to his just for men.
That's what happens when you take Wenger's advice. Bournemouth lost 4-0 to City. De Bruyne is back.
Bournemouth got safe and are just sliding away.
Bournemouth, actually, here's a stat since we're doing stats for these last couple of games. They are the team with the most points since the new year, except for Leicester and Tottenham.
What?
Yeah.
Really? Bournemouth?
Yeah.
How?
They've been killing it.
Yeah.
They've been absolutely dominant.
They've also conceded like 9.
That went under the radar completely.
Aston Villa's goal difference is -40, just to find out.
That must be worse than all
five. Wow. That's nearly Bhutan levels.
De Bruyne, great goal.
Oh,
great goal.
Silva's little. It was from, you know what? When you look at it, you think it's close. That was from far. That was from like the 18-yard line.
That is perfect.
Yeah. I haven't missed De Bruyne, man.
Me and Bernie have argued about this in the week about how important De Bruyne is to City's kind of slump. And I statted this out. Before he was injured, he was responsible for 40% of their goals.
I said he's great. I just don't think that they would be. I think they would still be here.
I just think that they're 4 points away from Arsenal, whatever. They would have that with De Bruyne. It's just what I'm saying.
I don't know.
But how many points are you away from Tottenham? Who were
one?
It's neither here nor there.
I just miss him. I think he was the best player for City.
He's so good.
Sterling was playing bad. Silva was not in form, and De Bruyne was really pulling them to.
Okay, I know we don't want to hop on this, but I'll say this about De Bruyne.
Oh.
You know how Martial cost whatever he costs, and De Bruyne costs a very similar thing.
Yeah,
and. Homie, LVG said, I need a fast right winger.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you can spend that money on Martial, why couldn't you identify Kevin De Bruyne and at least challenge for that? Because it seems to make sense. If money is no object.
Sure. At that point, why not buy Neymar?
Well, Neymar would have cost double that.
Okay. De Bruyne was 78 million euros. Martial was
36. Oh, it's going on.
No, you're talking pounds.
Martial was 50 million pounds.
Yeah. Plus, there's a lot of clauses, by the way, like winning this, playing this amount.
And the way Martial's playing, those clauses might actually be paid.
Yeah.
100 million.
Except for the Ballon d'Or one.
200 million.
Stoke Swansea, 2-2. Important point for Swansea, who have really propelled up the table after we thought, wow, this is looking quite dangerous for them. Sigurdsson with a goal again. West Ham, 2-2.
Goal of the weekend.
That free kick. You know how many? There was 10 people in the wall, and this is not an exaggeration. There was actually 7 from Crystal Palace, and West Ham added 3 more. You see the fan kind of view from behind the goal. The keeper can't see the ball until it's already gone in.
That's because it goes high and comes down.
This is the thing. The best thing about this goal is at no point does it look like it's going in until it's in. You know what I mean? You're watching it, and you're like, it's too high.
Yeah.
Too high. So, it's in.
Yeah.
That messed my day. Yeah, because I was walking around my house to try to figure out, how did he do this?
Yeah. I knew the goal had went in. I showed my brother who hadn't seen it. I was like, this is the free kick. So he's watching it. And then after it went in, he's like, halfway through that, I was like, no way, this is the free kick. You must have been wrong. And then boom, it dips right in. It was really good. He did the same for France.
The goalkeeper. The goalkeeper was standing on that post.
But he took two steps the wrong way. Wouldn't have saved
that. Because the ball was all over the place. It made no sense.
His free kick for France in midweek as well was sumptuous.
Dude, he must be the best free kick taker in
Europe. Right now, he has five. With that dude that Rochelle loves saying his name.
Which one?
The free kick guy.
Hakan Çalhanoğlu.
Yeah, Rochelle's really good.
Yeah, but I haven't... I mean, how many has he scored?
He just scored one for Turkey. Oh, midweek.
But how many did he get on his debut for seven different free
Yeah, Alex is taking the free kicks today.
Yes. We forgot a huge important game here. Sunderland 0, West Brom 0. This one.
Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, unbelievable stuff from West Brom keeping a clean sheet.
I can't wait for match of the day on this. Yes. Can't wait.
I think that's pretty much it for the Premier League. I don't know if we're going to talk Serie A since time is kind of running out.
Can I just say one thing before we drop up in Serie A? TFC lost again.
Yep.
1-0. Apparently, bad Giroud got sent off.
Yes, he did.
Apparently, he did.
Well,
I know what you mean.
What I meant to say was apparently it was not deserved.
Okay. After 18 minutes for two bad tackles, like, he was stupid.
Yeah. Well, I follow very biased TFC fans on Twitter who said it wasn't deserved.
One of them was debatable, but.
Right.
Anyway.
But can we just
he would have gotten a second yellow.
BMO Field looks really nice when you drive by.
When you drive by.
I really want to see
it. I work really close. Every time I'm coming back from lunch, I see it. And it looks impressive, to be honest.
I can't wait for it to be... Well, you have season tickets.
What? No, what?
I thought you... No. Didn't they call you a bunch of times and...
Yes. And I said, no, thank you very much.
Alex,
I was looking forward to using your season tickets. It was like 1,000 and a half.
Yeah, but season tickets.
We could have shared it. Can we share it? Or is it by name? I'm not sure.
We didn't buy one, so it doesn't matter.
The four of us said about it.
That said, my friend Kieran did get a season ticket, and he's going to nearly all the games, and he's going to write us some columns about TFC this season, so look out for that on the website.
Can we have your tickets?
Yeah, your one ticket. Yeah. All right, so quickly, Serie A, a couple of things happened. It was the derby between Lazio and Roma, and Roma beat Lazio away 4-1.
Away means home, because it's the same stadium.
Yeah, but the fixture, it was the away fixture.
Yeah, big deal. They're both at home.
Yeah, but there are more Lazio fans in the stadium.
It's just that the names have switched.
You get more racist chanting and more Lazio fans. Yeah,
but not this time, because both sets of ultras were boycotting the game for various reasons.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was a racist face-off. So they were both going at it.
I have a question. So when teams share a stadium like Inter and AC and Lazio and this... Yes. You know, if you come to Old Trafford, there's a home locker room, which everyone knows Manchester United go to. Do they actually just rotate and switch around?
It's crazy, yeah. And then you get like more fans and less fans.
They must do that at the San Siro as well for the Inter AC games.
So you can't have a certain locker.
I actually think Inter, I could be wrong, but I think at the San Siro, Inter and AC both have different
lockers?
Okay, cool.
So Pirotti scores, Sharawi, Dzeko, and Florenzi. Florenzi is having a magnificent season at makeshift right back. He's playing really well there. His goal was really good.
Dzeko finally. Feels like it's been a while.
Yes, Pirotti's goal was really nice with the left as well at the end of the game.
He's been a brilliant signing. Signed him in January. He was one of the players that Spalletti had last time he was at Roma, and he was like, well, get him back, because he was good.
Agreed.
Do you know where they are on the table? I'm,
yes, I do. Let me tell you. Okay. First, Juve won 1-0 against Empoli. So they do their thing, gets the 3 points. Napoli, Juve are still first with 73 points. Napoli are second with 67. And Roma are third with 63. There's quite a big gap to whoever's in fourth. But good for Roma is Napoli did lose to Udinese 3-1. Mm-hmm. And Higuain absolutely lost his mind. He scored his 30th goal for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Well done to him. He's having a magnificent year. Still can't produce for Argentina, as we saw in midweek, but regardless. And then he got two yellows, and he lost it. He went after the ref. He pushed the ref. He went after the other players. He was elbowing his own teammates in the face that were trying to stop him from like going crazy. Wow. He lost
it. Yeah, he was in tears.
He was in tears.
Pepe Reina tried to pull him out the field. He's like screaming.
He was crying because they were losing 3-1 at that point. The frustration and... Napoli were the only real title contenders to Juve, and I think he really wanted
to. He made a statement after the game as well. He said something about the referees and Juventus winning and this.
Well, Calciopoli part two, though, he's accusing
him of. He's basically going down that road.
Yeah, so it was. You know what? Regardless of. Obviously, no one should shove refs and blah, 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 but I liked seeing that passion. He really.
You liked seeing that passion?
I did. I thought he really cared. It's not just about getting the money.
This is what Mohamed says. We're playing outdoor soccer, and he's yelling at the ref. He's like, man, I just really care right now. Really care.
Quick theory, though. He could have reacted like that due to some kind of threat from the Neapolitan mafia.
Or the drugs.
Well, right. Okay. Well, you know what? Somewhere, they injected him beforehand.
Somewhere in Italy right now, Higuain is crying in the shower with his clothes on.
Probably in Naples, because that's where it
probably
is.
Probably Naples, not somewhere. Yeah, somewhere in Italy would be playing like the far
it's
south.
Like, it's like he took his car and drove all the way to the Sicily mountains. Or something.
Yeah. Into the Inter Milan mountains.
Just crying all the way.
But only if you drive to Sicily, you end up in the ocean.
So you're doing the reverse of the refugees then?
Yeah. You're going to Syria. Wow, that is bad. All right, we always end on something like this.
From Syria to Syria.
Yes. Oh, all right. God. I think that's pretty much it. We did say, to be honest, that we would keep the listeners up to date with Adam Johnson in jail. Couple of things. His wife, Sal's girlfriend, did visit him recently, which has sparked rumors that they are back together. Oh, my God. And second...
Physically, they aren't.
Yeah, And second is that one big, white, fat dude on the front of a newspaper, apparently from the jail, had the quote saying... I'll have him, blah, blah, my Johnson. God. So, like, you know, I don't think it's... Yet.
Of course, direct quote.
Yes! So even the guys in there are punny.
Well, that's... Adam Johnson is now officially under the cosh.
Yes.
I'm uncomfortable. Can we leave?
You know what? If that guy's name is Kosh, I'd love it. Okay, all right.
With Rashay being shell-shocked, we're out of here.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.